Introducing Batiste Sweat-Activated and Touch-Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste Dry Shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. A voluntary recall of baby formula from the biggest manufacturer in the U.S. ballooning into a supply chain crisis, as millions of parents nationwide have been left helpless without the formula their newborns need to survive. ABC's Ariel Reshef has the story.
For Long Island mother Jillian Jonas, every drop of formula counts.
Nursing is just like not an option. My supply is dried up. I'm living can to can with what we can find.
Her 3.5-week-old daughter, Mackenzie, relies exclusively on formula. And these days, the food her baby needs is hard to come by.
I've gone to at least 5 to 6 stores. My sister-in-law in Jersey is looking for us. Family in Queens is looking for us, and we live out on Long Island.
Jillian's struggle is not unique. A national shortage of formula has become a crisis for families of millions of babies and infants that depend on it. Shelves empty at supermarkets and drugstores. Retailers like CVS and Walgreens limiting the number customers can buy because of limited supply, sending panicked parents scrambling.
It's kind of a mess out there. I check all of them, Target or Walmart, Amazon, Gerber, every day just to see if it is there, but it's not.
All of a sudden we go to buy formula, everything is gone.
Not only can we not find it, but when we do find it, there's always a 20% markup on it.
Ongoing shortages from supply chain issues were exacerbated in February after formula manufacturer Abbott voluntarily recalled 3 popular brands of a powdered infant version. This due to reports that 4 infants developed severe illness. 2 of them died.
This shortage really represents a trifecta of increased demand on formula, a glaring issue with our supply chain and the reliance on 3 companies to make 90% of infant formulas, and 1 factory being shut down because of a virus.
Abbott is the largest manufacturer of infant formula in the U.S., making Similac, Elementum, and Elicare. Since the recall, roughly 40% of formula brands are out of stock nationwide. Abbott saying in a statement today, since the recall, one of our priorities has been to mitigate the supply issues. We know that the recall has worsened the industry-wide infant formula shortage, and we have been working to get as much product into the hands of parents as we can. The company also saying it's waiting for the FDA to give them the go-ahead to start manufacturing again, then getting formula back on shelves, which could take 6 to 8 weeks. But the FDA is still investigating safety conditions at the troubled facility.
Good afternoon, folks.
For the second day in a row, the president pressed about efforts to replenish the nation's supply.
There's nothing more urgent we're working on than that right now, and I think we're going to be making some significant progress very shortly.
The dire situation, especially affecting babies with specific medical needs.
There's not a lot of flexibility in terms of finding something else that these babies can eat safely. And so when you take a huge portion of those specialty formulas off the market, you leave these babies who are most vulnerable already in a really tricky spot.
Some parents already turning to another alternative, donor breast milk banks, hoping this option is more reliable.
If you're not sure about what a donor milk bank does, you can think about it like a blood bank. Just like you can donate your blood, you can donate your extra breast milk, and babies who are in need can receive that milk.
Lindsay Groff, executive director of the Human Milk Bank Association, says they've seen a nearly 20% increase in demand.
What we're hearing from our members across the country is that the phones are ringing and parents are stressed trying to find the best possible solution.
Donor breast milk is a popular alternative for a lot of families out there. Parents just want to make sure they're getting their donor breast milk from a reputable source, such as a certified donor breast milk bank. These banks are going to make sure that the milk is screened for any potential drugs, infections, and just make sure it's safe.
More commonly, others are turning to social media forums and Facebook groups to buy from parents who have a little extra.
I even went as far as traveling outside of my city to try to find it, and I still couldn't locate it.
First-time mom Alea Gaines finding formula for 7-month-old Cairo through her local Killeen, Texas Facebook group.
When I was pregnant, people had given me boxes, like gift set boxes with formula in them. But I produce enough milk for my baby, and I really didn't have any use for it.
Nadette Branch offering the same formula Alea's son needed.
I was like, hey, let me see if somebody could, you know, have a good use for it.
I quickly commented, and I was like, you know, can I please get this formula? And she was like, yes, of course. I just was so ecstatic.
In Long Island, Jillian has family across the tri-state area fanned out to help her find formula to no avail. She says a fellow mom she found on Facebook was able to provide her with the special formula her baby takes during the 8 feedings a day.
That mom who donated the formula to my daughter, I spent 45 minutes driving one direction to pick it up. Somebody was driving state lines. So I'm fortunate that I only drove 45 minutes one direction, but then that was an hour and a half round trip. But then last night I was back at it looking for it. And I was on the phone with the pediatrician this morning, seeing, you know, like what our next steps could be. And, you know, she's like, you know, you just have to look.
There is a lot of stress. It's already stressful enough having a baby, especially during a pandemic. And this is creating an additional layer of stress and an additional layer of expense for families. So many families are having to drive even with the increased gas prices.
And while some parents with fewer options may feel the squeeze to stretch the little formula they do have, pediatricians warn not to give in to this urge.
It is not recommended for anyone out there to make a home formula, and especially not to dilute formula. This can be absolutely dangerous for young babies, and you may not be matching the nutritional content that babies need. We've actually seen children hospitalized because of homemade formula or diluted formula.
With parental anxiety rising, the White House stepping up its efforts to help, giving families that rely on government assistance more flexibility to purchase any brands available, taking steps to import more formula, and cracking down on price gouging. President Biden asked why he didn't take steps sooner.
If we'd been better mind readers, I guess we could have, but we moved as quickly as the problem became apparent to us.
The FDA insists that the supply of formula in the country is stabilizing, but it could still take weeks before the shelves are full again. That's providing little comfort to parents like Jillian, whose babies need food now.
It's our last can, the only can we've had, and after that, we don't know what our options will be.
We're terrified. And it's literally all I've been thinking about.
Our thanks to Ariel. Up next, country legend Naomi Judd's life in the words of one of her devoted daughters.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The passing of country music singer Naomi Judd has been felt by millions of her fans, but none feel that grief deeper than her daughters, Ashley and Winona. ABC's Diane Sawyer sat down with Ashley at the family's home in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee.
It's so beautiful in the hills of Tennessee, where the amazing Judd family has lived in separate houses but minutes apart. And through the years, they've spoken publicly about their challenging family life. With a mother who was wounded by trauma and depression, but filled with dreams and drive. As we arrived, Ashley waited at the door.
Good morning, my fellow Kentuckian.
Her grief shared by her sister and the stepfather they call Pop. The kind of grief where the darkest heartbreak is framed by the brightest light.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Mom loves it.
As someone said, the size of the loss is the size of the love.
Mm.
And that can be infinite.
And, you know, I appreciate so deeply and really want to start by thanking everyone for their outpouring of love and condolences. And that my sister and I, we have a depth of gratitude. And I also want to address Diane, you know, why we're doing this. And I say, I'm here as an individual sitting with you by myself, but both sister and Pop have sort of deputized me in certain ways to speak on behalf of the family at this early time before things about the 30th of April become public without our control. You know, whether it's the autopsy or the exact manner of her death. And so that's really the impetus for this timing. Otherwise, it's obviously way too soon. And so that's important for us to say up front.
Where do you want to begin?
There are many places to begin. I think that I would start with my mother knew that she was seen and she was heard in her anguish, and that she was walked home. She was walked home. And that there is, when we're talking about mental illness, it's very important and to be clear and to make the distinction between our loved one and the disease. It's very real, and it lies, it's savage, and you know, our mother couldn't hang on until she was inducted into the Hall of Fame by her peers. I mean, that is the level of catastrophe of what was going on inside of her, because the barrier between the regard in which they held her couldn't penetrate into her heart, and the lie that the disease told her was so convincing.
And it's the lie that you are not...
that you're not enough, that you're not loved, that you're not worthy. And I mean, her brain hurt. It physically hurt. And I'm tasked with an exceedingly difficult task in disclosing the manner of the way my mother chose not to continue to live. And I've thought about this so much, because once I say it, it cannot be unsaid. And so, because we don't want it to be a part of the gossip economy, I will share with you that she used a weapon. Mother used a firearm. So that's the piece of information that we are very uncomfortable sharing, but understand that we're in a position that, you know, if we don't say it, someone else is going to.
It was a day like another day.
It was a mixed day. So I visit with my mom and Pop every day when I'm home in Tennessee. So I was at the house visiting, as I am every day. And Mom said to me, "Will you stay with me?" And I said, "Of course I will."
Ashley went outside to bring in a comforting person who had arrived. When she came back,
I went upstairs to let her know that the friend was there, and I discovered her. I have both grief and trauma from discovering her.
She prays that everyone will honor the rest of the details as private.
My mother is entitled to her dignity and her privacy. And so there are some things that we would just like to retain as a family. And so I want to be very careful when we talk about this today that for anyone who is having those ideas or those impulses, you know, to talk to someone, to share, to be open, to be vulnerable. There is a national suicide hotline.
Were you walking with your heart in your hand every day? Worried?
I really accepted the love my mother was capable of giving me because I knew she was fragile. So when I walked around the back of their house and came in the kitchen door and she said, there's my darling, there's my baby, and she lit up, I savored those moments. And every time we hugged and she drank me in, I was very present for those tactile experiences because I knew there would come a time when she would be gone, whether it was sooner or whether it was later, whether it was by the disease or another cause.
But when the music was playing, Naomi Judd said that going on stage was like getting to fly. Don't you wanna be
there by my side? Mom was a brilliant conversationalist. She was a star. She was an underrated songwriter. And she was someone who suffered from mental illness, you know, and had a lot of trouble getting off the sofa, except to go into town every day to the Cheesecake Factory where all the staff knew and loved her. And I know everything about them because she told me everything about them. Or Dwayne at Walgreens, you know, who needs to get a dog? That's the way she was. And she always had $100 bills stuffed in her bra, and she was passing them out to the janitorial staff. You know, just an unfailingly kind, sensitive woman. She was very isolated in many ways because of the disease. And yet there were a lot of people who showed up for her over the years, not just me.
Including her sister, Wynonna, who sent a letter to share with us.
So this is from Sister, and we talked a lot about doing this together, and what she shared is just so her. I'm thinking a lot about you today. I love you, 4! I've been looking at photos of us when we were little, laugh out loud, good Lord, in capitals. You were such a cutie pie. I laugh and I cry, and I thank God we have each other. I need to take some time to process, and I need this time to myself. I'm not ready yet to speak publicly about what happened, so I know you understand why I'm not there today. We will do this piece differently. We have each other, and I'm grateful we're connected as we walk together through this storm. I just can't believe she's gone. I'm here. This will take time. I love you, dear sister. I'm proud of you. And I'm here whenever you need me.
Our thanks to Diane. If you're struggling with thoughts of suicide or worried about a friend or loved one, help is available. You are not alone. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That number again, 1-800-273-8255. There'll be a public memorial for Naomi Judd this Sunday in the legendary Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. Up next, the royal horse race that the Queen just couldn't miss. And finally tonight, Queen Elizabeth venturing out for the first time in over 2 months. It was off to the races at England's annual Royal Horse Show today. With the appearance from Queen Elizabeth herself, the 96-year-old monarch who's appeared at the event every single year since the show originated in 1943. Sporting a wide smile from the stands. Her pony winning the trophy to boot. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time next week. Thanks for the company, America. Have a good and safe weekend.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.